Trade in Roses, The American Labor Movement, 1880-1940, written by Frank Joseph Donnelly, narrated by Delia Vasquez. Thank you for listening. The book begins now. Paralegaled. The worker's century before the labor movement, there were no weekends. There was no 8-hour workday. Children worked in coal mines and textile mills for 12 hours a stretch. Their small bodies suited to the low tunnels and narrow spaces that adult workers could not navigate. Women bent over sewing machines in airless factories, locked from the outside to prevent unauthorized breaks. And when fire broke out, they died by the dozens because no one had thought to provide fire escapes. Workers in the steel mills, the meatpacking houses, the auto factories, and the coal mines labored under conditions of danger and exploitation that the great corporations of the Gilded Age regarded as natural features of the economic landscape. The inevitable price of industrial civilization, the labor movement changed all of this. Not smoothly, not quickly, not without extraordinary sacrifice, but inexorably and fundamentally. The 8-hour day that most Americans now take for granted was not a gift from enlightened employers. It was wrested from resistant corporations by workers who went on strike, faced police clubs and Pinkerton agents and National Guard rifles, and refused to yield. The weekend, the minimum wage, the prohibition of child labor, workplace safety standards, unemployment insurance, the right to organize and bargain collectively. These were won by the labor movement through decades of struggle, and they constitute some of the most consequential achievements in American history. This is the story of that struggle. From the raw conditions of Gilded Age industrialism to the militant unionism of the 1930s that produced the legal and institutional framework of modern labor relations, it is a story of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, of leaders who gave their lives to the cause of workers' dignity, and of the enduring tension between capital and labor that defines so much of American economic history. The Gilded Age Worker, 1880-1900. Chapter 1. The Factory System, Industrialization and the American Worker. The transformation of the American economy in the decades following the Civil War was one of the most rapid and profound in human history. Between 1865 and 1900, the United States vaulted from a predominantly agricultural nation into the world's leading industrial power, producing more steel, more coal, more manufactured goods, and more railroad mileage than any country on earth. This transformation created enormous wealth and distributed it with shocking inequality, concentrating vast fortunes in the hands of industrial magnates, while the workers who produced that wealth labored under conditions that the comfortable classes preferred not to examine too closely. The factory system that drove American industrialization was built on a fundamental asymmetry of power. Employers owned the machinery, the buildings, and the raw materials. Workers owned only their labor, which they could sell or withhold, but which, if withheld, left them and their families without income in an era before unemployment insurance, Social Security, or any other form of social provision. This asymmetry, capital structural advantage over labor in a market economy, meant that individual workers had almost no bargaining power against large employers. A worker who refused the terms offered could be replaced immediately from the enormous pool of immigrants, rural migrants, and unemployed workers who flooded American cities and industrial regions. The conditions that the factory system produced were grim by any measure. Working days of 10, 12, or 14 hours were standard in most industries. The 6-day work week was typical. Sunday was the only day of rest, and in some continuous process industries like steel, even Sunday rest was not guaranteed. Wages varied enormously by industry, region, and the state of the labor market. But in most industries, they were insufficient to support a family without supplementary income from wives and children, which is why wives and children worked in the textile mills of New England and the South, in the tenement sweatshops of New York and Chicago, in the domestic service that employed hundreds of thousands of women, and in the coal mines where boys as young as 8 sorted coal at the breakers. Workplace safety was essentially unregulated. Mining accidents killed thousands of workers every year. Cave-ins, gas explosions, flooding, collisions with mine cars. Steel mills were extraordinarily dangerous environments, where molten metal poured, machinery operated without